Tabitha Devereaux took a deep breath and struggled not to argue as she tried to pick the lock on the handcuffs that her sister Selina had used to fasten herself to the wrought iron gate that surrounded the famed Jackson Square. Selina had hidden the key in her bra, and Tabitha had no desire to search there for it. No doubt, that would get them both arrested, even in New Orleans. Luckily, there wasn't a big crowd on the street in the middle of October, right at dusk. But what people were there all stared at them as they passed by. Not that Tabitha cared. She was more than used to people looking at her and thinking her strange. Even insane. She prided herself on both. She also prided herself on being available to her friends and family in a crisis. And right now, her big sister was in an emotional turmoil second only to the time when Selina's husband Bill had been in a car wreck that had almost killed him. Tabitha fumbled with the lock. The last thing she wanted was to have her sister arrested. Again. Selina tried to push her away, but Tabitha refused to budge, so Selina bit her. Tabitha jumped back with a yelp as she shook her hand in an effort to relieve the pain. Completely unremorseful about it, Selina sprawled on the cobbled steps that led into the square in a pair of ripped jeans and a large navy sweater that obviously belonged to Bill. Her long, curly brown hair was braided and oddly sedate. No one would recognize Madame Selina, as she was known to the tourists, except for the big sign she was holding that said, "Psychics have rights, too." Ever since they had passed that stupid, asinine law that psychics couldn't read cards in the square for tourists anymore, Selina had been fighting it. Earlier, the police had forced her out of the federal building for protesting, so Selina had headed over here to chain herself to the gate, not far from where she had once set up her card table for reading other people's futures. Too bad she couldn't see her own fate as clearly as Tabitha could. If Selina didn't unhook herself from this blessed fence, she was going to be spending the night in jail. Overwrought and angry, Selina kept waving her sign. There was no reasoning with her. But then, Tabitha was used to that too. High emotions, obstinacy, and insanity ran deep in their Cajun-Romanian family. "Come on, Selina," she said, trying yet again to soothe her. "It's already dark. You don't want to be Damon bait out here, do you?"
"I don't care," Selina sniffed and pouted. "The Damons won't eat my soul anyway since I have no friggin' will to live. I just want my home back. This is my spot and I'm not leaving."
She punctuated each of the last words with a pounding of her sign against the stones.
"Fine."
Sighing in disgust, Tabitha sat down near her, but not so close that Selina could bite her again. She wasn't about to leave her older sister out here alone, especially since Selina was so upset. If the Damons didn't get her, a mugger would. And so here the two of them sat like two immovable bumps on a log. Tabitha dressed all in black with her dark auburn hair pulled back into a silver barrette, and Selina waving her sign at anyone who came near them on the pedestrian mall, urging them to sign her petition to change the law.
"Hey, Tabby, what's up?"
It was a rhetorical question. Tabitha waved at Bradley Gambieri, one of the docents who led vampire tours around the quarter, as he headed toward the tourist center to drop off more brochures. He didn't even pause as he passed by. But he did frown at Selina, who called him an imaginative name because he didn't sign her petition. Good thing he knew them, or he really might be offended. Tabitha and her sister knew most of the locals who frequented the quarter. They had grown up here and had haunted the area around the square since they had been young teenagers. Of course, things had changed over the years. A few of the shops had come and gone. The quarter was a good deal safer these days than it had been in the late 1980s and early 90s. However, some things were the same. The bakery, Café Pontalba, Café du Monde, and Corner Café were in the same place. The tourists still gathered in the square to ogle the cathedral and the colorful natives who passed by, and the vampires and muggers still stalked the streets looking for easy victims.
The hair on the back of her neck rose. Tabitha moved her hand instinctively to the hidden sheath in her boot that concealed a 3-inch stiletto as she scanned the thinning October crowd around her. For the last 13 years, Tabitha had been a self-styled vampire slayer. She was also one of the few humans in New Orleans who actually knew what went on in this town after dark. She was scarred inside and out from her battles with the damned. And she had sworn her life to making sure that none of them ever hurt anyone else on her watch. It was an oath she took seriously. She would kill anyone or anything she had to. But as her gaze found the tall, exotically erotic man sporting a black backpack coming around the corner of the Presbyter building, she relaxed. It had been a couple of months since he'd last been in town. In truth, she'd missed him a lot more than she should have. Against her will and common sense, she'd let Acheron Parthenopaeus worm his way into her guarded heart. But then, Ash was a hard man not to adore. His long, sensuous gait was impossible to ignore, and every female in the square, except for the distraught Selena, was held transfixed by his presence. They all paused to watch him walk by as if compelled by some unseen force. He was sexy in a way very few men were. He held an aura that was dangerous and wild. And by his slow, languorous moves, it was obvious that he would be incredible in bed. It was something you just knew intrinsically when you saw him, and it rippled through your body like hot, seductive chocolate. At 6'8", Ash always stood out in a crowd. Like her, he was dressed all in black. His Godsmack t-shirt was untucked and a bit large, but even so, it didn't detract from the fact that Ash was seriously ripped, and his custom-made leather pants cupped a butt so prime it begged for a groping. Not that she ever would. An undefinable air about him warned people to keep their hands to themselves if they wanted to keep breathing. She smiled as she noted his boots. Ash had a thing for German goth clothing. Tonight he had on a pair of black biker boots that had 9 vampire bat buckles going up the length of them. He wore his long black hair loose and flowing around his shoulders. It was a perfect drape for a face that was eerily pretty and yet wholly masculine. Flawless. There was something about Ash that made every hormone in her body stand up and pant for more. Yet for all his sexual attractiveness, there was also an aura so dark and deadly that it kept her from ever thinking of him as anything more than a friend. And he'd been a friend ever since she had met him at her twin sister Amanda's wedding 3 years ago. Since then, they had crossed paths repeatedly as he visited New Orleans and helped her keep watch against the city's predators. Now he was a regular part of her family, especially since he often stayed at her twin's house and was, in fact, the godfather for Amanda's daughter. He stopped beside her and cocked his head. With his dark sunglasses on, Tabitha couldn't tell if he was looking at her or Selena, but it was obvious he was bemused by the two of them. "Hey, gorgeous babe," Tabitha said. She smiled as she realized his t-shirt paid tribute to the Godsmack song Vampires. How strangely apropos, since Ash was an immortal who came equipped with his own set of fangs. "Nice shirt." Ignoring her compliment, he pulled the black backpack off his shoulder and flipped his sunglasses up to show eerie, swirling silver eyes that seemed to flash in the darkness. "How long has Selena been handcuffed to the fence?" "About 30 minutes. I figured I'd hang out with her and keep her from becoming a Damon kebab." "I wish," Selena muttered. She raised her voice and slung her arms wide open. "Here I am, vampires. Come and end my misery." Tabitha and Ash exchanged a half-amused, half-irritated look at her dramatics. Ash moved to sit down beside Selena. "Hi, Lainey," he said quietly as he kept the backpack at his feet. Go away, Ash. I'm not leaving here until they repeal their law. I belong in the square. I was raised here. Ash nodded in understanding. Where's Bill? He's a traitor, Selena snarled.
Tabitha answered the question.
He's probably at the courthouse holding ICE to a private area after Selena racked him and accused him of being the man who is holding her down.
Ash's face softened as if the thought amused him.
He deserved it, Selena said defensively. He told me that the law is the law and that I had to obey it. Screw that. I'm not going anywhere until they change it.
Guess I'll be here for a while, Tabitha said wistfully.
You can make them repeal the law, Selena said, turning toward Ash. Can't you?
Ash leaned back against the fence without commenting.
Don't get too close to her, Ash, Tabitha warned. She's been known to bite.
That makes two of us, he said with a hint of humor in his voice as his fangs flashed. But I somehow think my bite might hurt a little more.